Hello, everyone, and welcome to the JW Show. I'm your host, Joshua Washington, Director of Institute for Black Solidarity with Israel. And today I have a very special guest, a wealth of information, a wealth of knowledge, just a good friend of mine, and she has a lot to offer for us today, so we're going to jump right into it. Miss Yaffa Tegenye. Yaffa, thanks for being here.
Hi, Joshua. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And Yaffa, for our listeners, can you let us know, what do you do?
Well, by background, I'm a lawyer, but due to my family history and my career, I've become a representative of the Ethiopian Jewish community to the public and to media and to the government here in Montreal, Quebec, Canada, and I've become a sort of expert on Ethiopian Jewish affairs.
Awesome. Awesome. Is it the Center for Israel and Jewish Affairs? Is that what the organization that you speak?
That's correct.
Okay.
That's correct. I'm an ambassador for the Center for Israel and Jewish Affairs, and we represent Jewish interests to the Quebec and federal government here in Canada.
Awesome. 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 And you also said you become a representative of the Ethiopian Jewish community. Can you speak a little bit more about that? What do you mean by a representative of that community? In what way?
Well, I guess I should start a bit with my background in history. My father was one of the first Ethiopian Jews. His name was Baruch Tegenye, and he was one of the first Ethiopian Jews brought to Israel in 1956. And he grew up in Israel, and he was one of the first activists to lobby the Israeli government to bring Ethiopian Jews and have them make Aliyah to Israel. So he's heavily involved with the movement and worked both on the ground and behind the scenes. He came to Canada, he moved to Canada, and because of him and my mother, we have a very small group of Ethiopian Jews that are born and raised in Canada and that have never lived in Israel. And whoever we are here, we represent the Ethiopian sector of the Jewish community. And we're a small group, but we like to share our diversity and share our thoughts about Israeli politics and Jewish society where needed and when asked.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And how are you generally as Ethiopian Jews who speak on behalf of your community and also are very vocal about, as you said, Israel and Israeli politics, how are you received generally in Canada when you do these things, if I can ask that?
Well, I think that always depends on your audience.
Right.
I think within the Jewish community, my goals the last 5-10 years have been really to demonstrate to the internal Jewish community and to the wider Canadian community that the Jewish community is diverse, that there are a lot of different ethnic groups within the Jewish community. I think people always think of Jews as kind of, you know, Ashkenazi, European, Holocaust, European war survivors. That's a lot of the image that a lot of non-Jewish people think that Jews are. But, you know, we're very diverse. We come from all over the world, and we need to embrace that diversity and understand it, as Jews, and how to, you know, show that to the world, that that makes us who we are, and that makes Israel an even better society. Complex, but better.
Absolutely. And you mentioned early about your father, Baruch Tegenye, and he was one of the first Ethiopian Jews to come to Israel in the 50s. I want to kind of dive into a little bit of a similar topic to that. In the 80s and 90s, of course, you know that there was Israel came and airlifted thousands of Ethiopian Jews from Ethiopia into Israel. And recently, we had what was released on Netflix, a movie that is based on or inspired by those events there. And I wanted to ask you some questions about it. I'm assuming have you seen that movie?
Absolutely. I've seen the movie. I've met with the directors and producers. And I've definitely seen it. And I'm very glad they made it.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, yeah. And what you said you met with them. What did they meet with you about?
Well, I happened to be at the first screening of the movie. There was there was a screening here in Montreal for an event, and there was a cocktail with the producer and director of the movie. And, you know, I was invited, and other members of the Ethiopian community here were invited. So they wanted to get our take on the movie. It was like a pre-screening, and they wanted to get our commentary and take on what we thought about it. Mm. The movie had already been made. They did consult with people in Israel that I know while making the movie, but we met with them, you know, kind of afterwards so that they could get an audience feel and reaction about the movie.
Got you. And what were your feelings toward the movie after watching it?
Well, I think, you know, my reaction is nuanced. It's complex. I think that, you know, when we saw it on the big screen and the venue and the people that I saw it with, we were all very excited. And we were very excited that the story was getting told. You know, you growing up, everybody's always told me, you know, this story should be a movie. How does everybody not know about this? This is insane. This is amazing, you know. Right. So it is a major event, and it is it's a magical event. It's really something. So seeing it on the big screen was really a dream come true and amazing. Mm-hmm. And I'm very happy that the story is on a global scale, you know, is being told on a global scale. On the other hand, as an Ethiopian Jew, there are a lot of, you know, inconsistencies in the stories of factual things that are factually incorrect. Right. It is definitely a Hollywood movie. I spoke to the director about it, and he said, look, this is not based on a true story. This is inspired by true events.
Right.
So, you know, they kind of took a lot of liberties with the story. I know that, you know, a lot of Ethiopians, especially given the protests this summer, there were a lot of protests in Israel about racism and shooting this summer surrounding the Ethiopian community.
Right.
And a lot of people were very upset about the way the movie was portrayed. Mm-hmm. So, you know, in the big picture, I think it's great that it's out there and people know about it. So I think that's kind of the position I'd like to take, a more positive position, you know.
Absolutely.
That's, what it is.
I hear you. Absolutely. I liked it. I wondered, that was the one thing I wondered the most was what the different Ethiopian Jewish community members thought about it. Given that, and you mentioned too, and this is actually what I want to talk to you about as well. The protests that have been going on this summer, late June, I think June 30th, Solomon Tekai was an Ethiopian Israeli who was shot by an off-duty police officer in Israel, and it has sparked a lot of protests and building on top of, I think, the tension that's already been going on in Israel between the Ethiopian Jewish community and the non-Ethiopian Israelis. First of all, I want to ask you. As an Ethiopian Jew, I know that you're not speaking for the whole community, but just for yourself at least, what is your whole take on that situation that's been happening and then the following protests that have been going on?
I have to say, first of all, I have to qualify the fact that I don't live in Israel and I've grown up in Canada, so my experience is very different than people living in Israel on a day to day. It's much harder. I think that the Ethiopians in Israel and the young, this is really a young generation. These people, mostly these kids that are protesting, were born in Israel. I think that they are, I think they have reason to be angry. I think they have a lot of reason to be angry. There is a lot of discrimination in Israel. There's been institutional discrimination. And especially this idea of shooting young kids is just, it doesn't happen in Israel, and I don't know how to explain it, but, you know, everybody's child is a soldier in Israel. Everybody is trained on how to shoot. Everybody knows to shoot someone in the leg and not in, you know, not shoot to kill.
Right.
So it's hard to argue about accidents, and it's hard to argue escalation. There is a fundamentally, you know, I believe there is a racial element to it. I believe that, you know, they try and compare it to the United States, and they think that Ethiopians are like African Americans and they're scared of them. I hate to say it, but I do believe that. Mm. I think there is a lot of problems that young Ethiopians face in Israel. Mm. However, You know, I do think that the older generation was a very quiet generation, and they would not have protested in this way. And the fact that young people are empowered enough to go out into the street and demand equal rights shows that they are, you know, in a better place being in Israel, because there is democracy and equal rights and access to justice within the legal framework, and they can go out and march and be safe. So, which is something that I don't think older generations would have done culturally even. There was a lot of kind of like, well, you know, they brought you here to Israel, so be thankful, you know, don't complain. But right. This new generation is like, no, we're Israeli and we sacrifice our lives and we're soldiers and we deserve to be treated like everybody else. And actually, Ethiopians are overrepresented in the military. They're extremely patriotic. They're extremely Zionist. So they're often very religious. So I think it hurts home even more to be treated like that when you give so much to your country. So I think they're, you know, I think they're right to be angry. And it did give them a lot of attention to the issue. It did bring a lot of positive attention to the issue. So
that's good. And so you're saying too that it actually makes them Israeli, the fact that they're protesting and making this much noise actually shows how Israeli they are. Is that...
Yes, I know that sounds crazy, but it's true, because only Israelis would protest in this way. And they are. These kids are born in Israel. They're raised in Israel. Many of them do not speak Amharic. They do not, you know, they're not related to a lot of Ethiopian traditions. They eat Israeli food. They're Israeli, you know.
Right, right.
So for them, they're like, why are we being treated differently? Like, we're just Israeli. And, you know.
Absolutely.
And I understand why they're angry. Yeah.
Absolutely. And do you think that as a country, do you think that Israel will recover, or even more so than recover, but do you think that Israel can grow or will grow from what's been happening this summer?
I think so. I think they can rise to the occasion. I really think so. I think they have to, one, because it's a huge embarrassment for Israeli society to have this. It's embarrassment as Jews. I've had people here come to me since the protests and tell me, we're shocked. We can't believe, you know, this is going on. We can't believe, you know, how could Jews treat other people like this? You know, we've right. suffered so much discrimination, you know? Mm-hmm. So there is a lot of outrage. I've also, as a reaction, received a lot of people wanting to contribute to Ethiopian causes and help, you know, give money in education and leadership programs and training and all types of things. So I think that's positive. Mm-hmm. And I think Israel also has to vis-a-vis BDS, because, you know, how we treat minorities in Israel is a very sensitive issue. And it's, you know, Israel is scrutinized about how they treat minorities within their country, probably more than anybody else. And it's important, you know, to treat especially your Jewish minorities
right.
equally and
right.
with as much dignity as anybody else.
Absolutely.
You know, just and as much as the Arabs as well, and the Druze and the Bedouins and everybody. There's lots of the Maronites. There's lots of minorities in Israel, and they should be all respected and have equal rights. But they have to rise to the occasion. It's not in their interest. It's bad PR for Israel, and it's bad. It's just not necessary. They had a great story. They have a great story of something that was positive. They did save these people from Ethiopia. So, you know, it would be a shame to have it overshadowed by, you know, individual acts of racism.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We're going to take a short break and we'll continue. I just have a couple more questions for you, Yaffa. Thank you again.
Sure. Because I don't understand how this could ever be your plan. No, help me to see.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the JW Show. Again, I'm here with my good friend Yaffa Tegenye. We've been having a great conversation. Yaffa, I wanted to talk to you. You mentioned a couple of things about the Ethiopian community and how Israeli they really are, and how, you know, it's what's going on is kind of forcing Israel to look at some of these things and these issues and deal with them. As someone in Canada, as an Ethiopian Jew who advocates for Israel, how hard is that? or is it not hard at all? I want to ask you, when people who are anti-Israel come face to face with you, and they say some of these things and use these things as kind of ammunition, how do you respond to that?
Well, I think I dealt with that mostly in college. I studied political science and international affairs, and there I was in a campus that was a very, you know, hotbed of a lot of BDS and a lot of anti-Israel discussion. It was challenging, and it still is. On the one hand, I think the issue is that when you're talking with somebody who's criticizing Israel's human rights record, and you're Ethiopian and you come to them and say, well, hey, here's a contemporary example of why Israel is still necessary, because we're talking about the 1980s and 90s. I guess it's not contemporary anymore. I'm getting old, but you know, where people were suffering as Jews and needed a place to be free. And needed Israel, and you know, they turn around and they're just it doesn't fit for them, because right. To them Israel is, you know, the superpower, you know, backed by the American superpower. It's colonial. It's all the anti.
Right.
And then here you have this act of pure goodness and this act of pure selflessness, because they didn't have to do it, and true humanity, a true humanitarian effort that's, right. You know, not from the Holocaust or from Russia. It's now, it was here and now. So it doesn't sit well with their angle. On the other hand, I've also had a lot of, you know, I understand a lot of Palestinian students that I've spoken to have said, well, you know, how can, like, can't you imagine what we feel when we can't go back to our homes and they're bringing people from Africa, you know, to come to Israel, and we're there on the other side, and, you know, we can't even go back. We're not considered, like, we can't go back to where we're from, but, right. You know, they're bringing people from Africa. So, which, you know, I can understand that, like, you have to listen. I think people don't listen enough, and you have to listen. But it definitely doesn't jive with the, you know, the BDS's principles and how they attach themselves to human rights. And I think that's a fundamental problem in their movement, which
right.
I don't understand how it's not called out more often, but
right.
it's a discriminatory movement, yet it's attached to human rights. And, you know, the Ethiopian issue just kind of pulls that right out.
Right, right. Just the very knowledge that the Ethiopian Jews are in Israel and they exist and they're thriving kind of calls that out, because when you boycott Israel, that's sounds like, well, you boycott these people as well, you know, is that really what you want?
That's right. Yeah. You're boycotting people who came from one of the poorest countries in the world during one of the hardest times in that country. I mean, everybody remembers Ethiopia in the 80s and the imagery of the famines and the war and everything that was going on. So, you know, Israel helped.
Right.
They actually went out and changed people's lives. So it doesn't fit really with the narrative.
Absolutely. And Yaffa, and I want to back up just a little bit and just ask you a little bit about your father. You mentioned him in the beginning. I know in the movie, The Red Sea Diving Resort, he wasn't in the movie, or his character, I should say, obviously, but his character wasn't in the movie. And I was wondering, and I wanted to know if you knew why he wasn't portrayed in the movie as well.
There's a few reasons. One, I think the movie was very mission specific. Okay. It was really about the Red Sea Diving Resort and what happened there, which was only one of a handful of missions that were going on in different parts of East Africa. Mm. People were being smuggled through Khartoum. People were being smuggled through Addis. There's a lot of different things that were going on. So my dad was not directly involved in that mission. However, he was the first one to come up with the plan to bring Ethiopians through the Red Sea by boat to Israel, which is not how the majority came. This was a very small group that it was one of the first missions that they tried. They brought them to the Red Sea and brought them by boat. But most of the Ethiopian Jews came by land through Sudan and then were airlifted. So the plan to bring them was actually my father's. And the other reason he was not portrayed in the movie was because he had a falling out with Mossad. He had a difference of opinion with Mossad, and my father was not very good at taking orders, is the truth. So I think he was a bit of persona non grata with the Mossad, so it doesn't surprise me that they left him out.
That's funny. Okay, that's good. And just for our listeners, Baruch Tegene does have a book that's amazing called Baruch's Odyssey. It does talk about his journey and his time in Israel. And very much like you, Yaffa, it's very balanced and complex, but you can't doubt that he loved Israel, and that's why he was a big part of getting the Ethiopian Jews to Israel.
I think that's the crux of our story. It's that Ethiopian Jews have been praying to go to Jerusalem for 3,000 years, and that's really the narrative of our entire culture. And when they, saw the reality of Israel, they didn't know there were white Jews. You have to understand, they believed they were the only Jews left in the world.
Right.
And they're very Zionist, and everything was about going to Jerusalem and living and keeping mitzvot in Jerusalem and being Jewish. So when they came to Israel and their Judaism was questioned, and, because they didn't look a certain way or eat a certain way, it was so difficult for them to handle. It was very, it's very insulting, and it's very hard. Right. So there was but ultimately I believe that being there was still great. It's still positive, and that the new generations are thriving and flourishing despite all the problems. Immigrants have problems. It's not always easy. It takes a few generations to have social mobility and success in society.
Right.
And I'm very hopeful, and I think they're doing it now, and they're going to do better in the future. Sure. I believe that.
Absolutely. Yaffa, thank you so much. And is there anything else that you want to add before we sign off for the day?
No, I think I'm good. Thank you very much for having me. Appreciate you, talking about this issue.
Absolutely, Yaffa. And thank you for coming and giving your knowledge and your input. We really appreciate it.
Thank you so much. My pleasure. Thanks a lot.
All right. Talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.
And thank you all for listening. Again, this is the JW Show. My name is Joshua Washington, director of the Institute for Black Solidarity with Israel, and I'm signing off.